Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Of course, Christ is risen is the proclamation of the Easter season. And today is still Easter, right? It's the sixth Sunday of Easter. In these past several weeks, we've been reading from the Gospel of John and reflecting on how we still experience the risen Christ today. We've talked about finding Christ in acts of compassion and justice, how Christ lives through us, through our words and our deeds. And we talked about Christ as the light of revelation that still today shows us the path of love that leads to union with the divine presence. And we talked about Jesus as the good shepherd, the force of love that watches over us, that brings us together in community. And we talked about Christ as the source of love and truth and courage in our lives. Christ as the vine that nurtures us so we might bear the fruits of love, justice, hope, and peace. And today's scripture from the Gospel of John picks up with Jesus still talking about the vine and bearing fruit. He's inviting us to live in his love. We're told that to live in his love means to love one another. We draw from the source of love that is Christ so that it flows through us and then out of us into the world, into the lives of everyone that we encounter. And this is Jesus' commandment for us, to love one another. Even if we forget everything else that Jesus taught, he tells us that if we do this one thing, if we love one another, then we and Christ will be one. Because everything that he did teach us, everything that he stood for, is founded on love and compassion, deeply caring for this world. In receiving this commandment, this instruction to love each other, we're also introduced to yet another way to think of our relationship with Christ. As I've mentioned, we've reflected on Christ as an extension of ourselves, as the light, the good shepherd, the vine. And now we have Christ as friend. What does it mean to be a friend? We've heard Jesus talk about loving your neighbors and even loving your enemies. But here he's talking about loving your friends and what it means that he calls his disciples his friends. Now, Reader's Digest published some short blurbs or paragraphs about of people talking about their best friends and what made them such good friends. And these people that were mentioned were people who gave hugs, who helped with chores unasked when the other person was feeling overwhelmed, who offered humor or a smile on a hard day. There were people who were vulnerable with each other, who listened without judgment, who were persistent in reaching out, people who encouraged each other. And these are just a few of the friend qualities that were mentioned. And now, I don't think there's necessarily any one right way to be a friend to someone. But all of these people that were being called friends were caring and compassionate. They gave of themselves. And Jesus says that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus himself lived that out radically, literally giving his life that others might know God, might know love and justice and peace in their lives. But to give one's life doesn't necessarily mean to die for someone. In this kind of friendship that Jesus is talking about, friends love each other radically, to the maximum, giving of their lives to each other. But that means giving our love. giving our time, whatever it might be. It means helping each other, being present for each other in times of crisis. And of course, friendship is a two-way street as well. Jesus says that we are his friends if we do what he commands. But don't hear that as a conditional statement. I don't think he's trying to tell us that I'll only love you if you do what I tell you. I think Jesus is saying, I love you, but if we're to be friends, you also have to love. It goes both ways. And in this mutual love, the disciples kind of achieve a sort of graduation. They no longer have a student-teacher relationship with Jesus, but now they're friends, they're equals, they're partners. But they're not to be friends and partners just with Jesus. This isn't about devoting one's life to the religion of Jesus, converting followers so everyone gets to heaven. Jesus doesn't say, lay down your life for me, but lay down your life for your friends. And that certainly includes Jesus, but not just Jesus. This is about loving not only the friend we have in the risen Christ, but loving each other. Being true, radical friends to each other. The disciples are called to be friends, to give of their lives, to love each other and support each other in the good times and in the struggles of life. And these loving bonds that we're asked to nurture with one another are what will get us through life as we support our friends and share God's love. And remember that love isn't just some gooey emotion that we talk about that makes our hearts flutter. It can be that, but most importantly, I think love is an action. We see it embodied in the life of Jesus. Love is helping someone in need, listening without judgment, encouraging someone who's down on themselves. Love is feeding the hungry, providing shelter for the destitute, healing the sick, freeing the unjustly imprisoned. Love is all of these things and more. But you might ask, what about those who aren't our friends? Right? People we barely know. People we kind of dislike. People who dislike us.
Yeah.
Who might even be hostile toward us. When Jesus tells us to love one another, he doesn't mean to just love those who are already our friends. I think he's telling us to go out and make friends of the world, to nurture this act of love in ourselves so that it bears fruit in the world, so that through our love, hope and peace and justice will grow and flourish. In the book of Acts, Peter and the other Jewish followers of Jesus don't seem so sure that Gentiles, the people outside the Jewish faith, should be welcomed into their group. They seem to have their own little group of friends, followers of Jesus, and they don't seem convinced there's room for others. But as Peter speaks, these outsiders listen and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. The divine presence that is within them too rises up and makes itself known. And Peter realizes that no one can stop the Holy Spirit. The Spirit goes where it wants to go. It doesn't even wait for Peter to stop talking. It sets its own schedule. The Spirit doesn't adhere to our assumptions and our prejudices. It moves in all of God's children everywhere, drawing us all into one fellowship, the body of Christ, that everyone might have opportunity to abide in God's love. Now, thinking about what Jesus did and taught and how it applies to our lives, that's important stuff, but it happens in our head. I think the Holy Spirit is what happens when we truly abide in the love of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the transformation of our hearts. It's letting God loose in the deepest part of our souls. We don't control the Spirit, and we shouldn't try. The Spirit doesn't follow us. We are invited to follow the Spirit, the wild, uncontrollable love of God that abides within us. This is the God connection that bears the fruits of love through us for the entire world to enjoy, that seeks to befriend and love the world, giving of itself to all those in need. Of course, not everyone will want to be our friend, but we can still love them. Good question.
Yeah.
We can still care for them, right? We can still be concerned about their welfare. Listen respectfully, openly, because love always seeks to move outward, to be shared. When the other person also shares their love with us, that is when deeper relationship, when friendship occurs. And we don't have to agree with someone to love them either. We can even challenge someone and love them at the same time. Jesus often did this. When he challenged someone, he wasn't condemning them, but he was offering them a chance to grow, to change. And of course, we too might be challenged, and we should stay open to that. We should be open to hear when someone loves us enough to question us, that we too might learn and grow. So many in our world are filled with fear and anger. There's so much division and violence. The world needs love. Love and the fruits of love, like hope and compassion, are what will create and sustain a just and peaceful world, the kingdom of God. And if we don't open our hearts and draw on the source of love that is God, we will wither on the vine. Jesus commands us to love one another because the radical love that he embodies for us is what will save us. Loving one another makes possible the kingdom of God. And God's love only reaches the world by flowing through God's people. How can we love the world today? How can we help someone today? May God's eternal love flow into you and through you this day and always. Amen.